Coming up on today's show, we're going to discuss the new Epcot Nighttime Spectacular. We're going to also give our thoughts about the new Indiana Jones movie. And we're going to dissect a disappointing Disney World vacation. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 431 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined tonight by John.
You are a part of me, and I am a part of you.
Oh, we I should have probably part sung of each that. Other?
Oh. Probably should have sung that, right?
Yes.
You are, wait, why is it, how's it go? I am a part of you, and you are a part of me.
We are one.
Yes. Is that the actual title? I don't remember.
Actually, I don't either. But since we're starting with that.
Well, you know.
First of all, you know, we were just talking to Jason for quite a while, as he is currently at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Should we say that?
He's currently there? Hmm. Interesting.
Yes, as we speak. Oh, as we're recording this, I know. We're doing that thing again.
You're doing it. Hey, this was your fault. You started.
Yes, but he actually, yeah, hopefully we'll get quite the trip report. Might be a multi-parter because there was the whole challenge thing to talk about. There's the Jollywood Nights, the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, the new Epcot Courtyard. I don't know what you want to call it. World Celebration.
Some of the walls have come down.
Yeah, there's Neil Patrick Harris at the Candlelight Processional. I think he's supposed to do that as well.
Yeah, it'll be a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack once he's done unpacking from this trip.
Once he's back.
Yes, so hopefully we'll get that. But yeah, so Epcot, Walt's birthday, yep. Walt, the Dreamer statue, and World Celebration opened.
Yes. Yes, yes.
First, before we get to Luminous, what did you think of what we saw of that?
You mean the Walt statue?
Well, just the whole area, World Celebration.
I mean, it was all right, from what I could tell.
Yes.
It's very green. Not as much shade as you would think, which would be, you know, maybe the plan is, maybe they're allowing a little room for the trees to grow up, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe those trees will bloom more... Or have more shade in the spring, summer.
Maybe.
Maybe because it's fall, winter now. They're not as, I don't know. But there's plenty of places to sit. And there's phone charging places.
True.
There's lots of places to eat. So if you are doing your festival food in that area, you can make the trek over there, I guess, and sit.
Well, they increase the outdoor seating for connections, right? That's what it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a far walk from there, too, but I guess you could. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's the closest place to eat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
To that area, I guess anyway.
There's a few festival booths in the area you could, but maybe once the festival center opens, they'll have more food options there, too, which makes sense there. I don't know. Anyway, it's okay.
I don't really like the idea of the fountain being gone, but, you know.
Fountain of Nations, yeah. That was cooler.
Yeah.
Was it too loud? Is that why people thought, like, the water was too loud?
No, well, why did Disney do it, or?
Well, maintenance probably, too.
I was going to say, a lot less maintenance on plants.
Right.
Yes. That's probably the reason Disney did it.
Right.
But I don't think it really had anything to do with guest complaints by any means, no.
Yeah,
I rather enjoyed the fountains, though, so I'm going to miss those.
I don't know if people complained about the noise, but, I mean, there was some noise from the water, but I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think people complained about it, though. I don't think that. If anything, the reason was cost for the change.
Yeah. I heard Adam the Woo the other day say that at D23, people were nicknaming the Dreamer statue, like, Walt. I forgot how they said it, but, like, it looked like Walt was sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, Walt on the throne.
Right, I think. Now I can't unsee that when I'm looking at the Dreamer statue.
It kind of does look like that a little bit. Although, you know, it also looks like he's just sitting on a bench, you know, staring out into the horizon. Yes.
Maybe they should have...
Not horizons.
Yeah, it's cool that he's overlooking his dream.
And I think, what was it they originally, they were going to have him centered, and then they made him kind of like off-center because, like, who sits in the middle or something like that? I can't remember what the reason was, but...
I don't know. But he's got some light, spotlights around him for nightlight.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So, luminous beings are we, as Yoda said.
You might be a luminous being.
Not this crude matter.
I'm a crude matter at the currently.
Are you?
Yeah, at the moment.
I'm going to stand by my Indiana Jones analogy since we are going to talk about that later as well, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. But
yes.
My thought when I was watching it is, wow, they took what worked for Happily Ever After and transferred it into this show. Like the narration, some of the same songs, kind of the flow of the story arc, you know, the basically the life cycle of humans is the story of this young, you know, falling in love, loss, you know, friendship, whatever. And then, you know, triumphant, whatever, at the end, I don't know, connecting with people. Okay. I thought it was a cool story arc and very much like Happily Ever After. So I call it the last crusade of the fireworks show, because I think Happily Ever After is Raiders in this, to use an Indiana Jones analogy. And this one, to me, is obviously, to me anyway, they're trying to, recreate what worked for Happily Ever After in this show.
You could see some of that.
Yeah.
You could also see some of, in the very beginning, with all the different welcomes from in all the different languages.
Yeah.
Was actually almost exactly the same as how it opened the last version of Illuminations that they did prior to Reflections. Mm-hmm. It was almost exactly the same thing. Matter of fact, I think they may have used the exact same soundtrack.
I'll have to go back.
I was thinking about that too, and I haven't gone to listen yet.
But. I'm like, where did I hear that before? I was trying to think of that because I'm like, that sounds familiar. The whole, you know,
yeah, the Spanish one, especially the way they said the bienvenida.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that Illuminations? Yeah, I was like, I knew I heard like that before.
Pretty sure. Interesting. Like what was the last version there? Illuminations 25, prior to Reflections of Earth?
It may have been.
Reflections of Earth was still the best, but...
Yeah.
Definitely the soundtrack. I mean, that's hard to beat. That soundtrack is a classic.
Right. So speaking of the soundtrack, I think that is kind of the weak point overall. Although I hope it grows on me. Maybe it'll grow on me, but...
I still don't like the idea of them adding the IP in like they did, but, you know... Whatever.
Well, I thought it fit, like, you know, the one we had talked about, you know, again, this is heavy spoiler if you haven't watched
it. Haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it yet or haven't, whatever. So we're talking spoilers, but when they do When Somebody Loved Me and Remember me
on top of one another. The first time I watched it, I didn't even catch Remember Me was in there.
Yeah. I think I would have been more impacted if it was the one I know from Toy Story 2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why didn't they use that one? Because I feel like that one would have pulled at the heartstrings more than the one they went with, like, doing, like, a remake of it. Like, Happily Ever After uses, like, the originals. Whereas this, like, is, like, a remix of a remake or new different version. And I'm like, it doesn't hit the same because it's,
Happily Ever After uses the originals in what sense?
Well, in some of them, like... from Rapunzel.
They didn't use the original.
In Happily Ever After, they don't?
No, it just sounds similar, but it's not the original.
No, it sure sounds like, okay.
They did a pretty good remake.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, they're all remakes. They didn't use the original.
Well, they used Robin Williams' voice.
It's subtle.
For the end of Friend Like Me.
Yeah, but I mean, none of those songs are the original. It's subtle. Well, maybe the that little small little ditty that most people don't recognize where it's from, about that's what friends are for, might be the original.
Yeah. Well, there's elements of it that give you that feeling versus this one, I thought. But
speaking of the songs, I'm going to say this over the air. I thought about doing a poll. How many of you knew where So Close came from without having to look it up? I mean, that okay. song. Did you even recognize that one?
I didn't.
It was in there. There was a song that they were using called So Close. Some people probably thought it was original, but it comes from Enchanted.
Oh, that. Yeah.
I was like, nobody ever talked about the songs from Enchanted back when it was out.
Not at all.
So I'm like, not that it was a bad film. It wasn't a bad film, but it was not known for its music, is my point. I'm like, nobody knows that one yet. They decided to use that one. I'm like, okay.
And the main theme, like you were singing earlier, or speaking earlier.
It took me about 3 times listening to this. One time driving down the road to catch that that was the hook.
Yeah. Like, it's good, but I don't, maybe over time it'll grow on me.
You know, it's in the spirit. I could honestly say it actually is in the spirit of We Go On, style. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And I will, you know, because you know what did it for me, though? Like I was just saying, listening to it with just the soundtrack, like I was driving down the road, listening to just the soundtrack part of it without watching the fireworks, believe it or not. Because to be honest, the lasers and the fountains and there's nothing that they're doing here that they haven't done before already, truthfully.
Well, there's nothing, I don't know.
There's nothing innovative with the visuals. But
I liked it better. I honestly thought the fountains were better than Harmonious because they weren't so gaudy, but they used a lot of colors and the lights, and the way they did the fountains I thought was cool. And then
no projections.
But I also thought the fireworks were unique. They had a lot of low ones that, you know,
it got better. Like I said, it had high spots.
Yeah. I also saw some unique shaped fireworks that I had not really noticed before. I thought that they did a pretty good job of making some different looks to it. I liked it. I think the fireworks were my favorite part. The fireworks and the fountains. And
there's definitely more fireworks than the previous shows.
And also bringing Spaceship Earth into it.
Yes, I was going to say, that's the other thing. Except for one of the complaints with Harmonious was that you needed to have the bright angle. So apparently with this show, you still need an angle that has Spaceship Earth in it to get the full effect.
Sure.
So I'm just saying.
That's why I said, I thought Craig's video from Diz Unlimited, because I forgot exactly where he was. He's probably like
Italy.
The angle was where you could see Spaceship Earth, and I thought it was really good.
I only know that because did you watch the comment video first?
I didn't actually.
No, I watched the comment video. That's actually where they were. Disney invited them, and that's the spot they gave them, Italy.
So no wonder he had a great spot. They gave him the best spot.
Great.
Yeah, it was really good. Overall, I like it. Again, it's the Last Crusade of fireworks shows, so it's second best at least.
Since you mentioned the Diz and Craig, I thought it was kind of funny because I felt kind of this way too. But the way Rhino put it, I hope I'm saying this right. I don't remember exactly because it got to the part about when you said the "When Somebody Loves Me."
Yeah.
It's almost like with the narration and the way they did it, where he's like, "Well, you know somebody that's died," or something like that.
Right.
Pretty much.
I mean, yes.
Pretty much the way they put it. And then they go right into that. And I think he said the people around them, and you can hear it on the thing. You get like, they kind of snickered a little bit to start with, like the way they started.
Well, yes. That was the point where I was like, okay, they're basically doing Happily Ever After, because it's like, oh, at first it was like, oh, you're a child and things are fun and whatever, and you're an adult and you have friends, and oh, guess what else is going to happen when you're an adult? Like, people around you are going to die.
I think what they were trying to go for, and it works to a degree, I think what they're trying to go for is, you know, the things that everybody can relate to. If they've been around long enough.
Yeah.
They've experienced
right,
all the things.
Right, if you live long enough, you're going to experience these things.
If you've made it to the adulthood, for the most part, you've experienced the things that they were going, that they were taking.
Yeah.
Most commonly.
Right. It's
I'm not saying everybody. Yeah, but most commonly.
Right, and therefore, we're all not that different. I mean, that was something they said in the beginning, too. We're all more similar than we are different, and I liked the theme of it, and, you know, I got it. I thought it was well done for what they were trying to do, so.
I've watched it 2 or 3 times since the first time. The first time did not rub me the right way overall. I thought it was a bit of a mess. I still do in the middle parts. It's a bit of the organizational mess as far as the flow of it. But, I mean, there were spots, especially like when they did the, when at last I see the light and it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Those particular, like the choreography with the fireworks and that music was very good. The parts that was kind of messy, though, is when they start the Toy Story, You Got a Friend in Me. I was like, that was all over the place. They're like a rock show or something out there on the way the lights and everything were doing. It was very messy during those parts.
I did like the colors they use, like the Toy Story colors and stuff. But again, that reminded me of Happily Ever After. But yeah, the song choices.
Well, see, here's another thing. Okay. You say they're trying to find a formula. They were going along a formula similar to Happily Ever After, right?
Legit.
A big part of Happily Ever After that helps keep you in the story and bring you along are the projections, the things they're showing you.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same thing here. Now, that may be the reason why they thought they needed more narration, which I think this could have done with less narration. Because, I mean, maybe. Reflections of Earth tells the story that they're trying to tell with pretty much no narration.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But there was that really boring part where everybody's like, is the show over? And then it's
talking about Reflections?
Oh, yeah.
No. That was when things were, when they're bringing the barge out, are you talking about? Yeah.
Yes. And it was like 10 minutes, but, you know.
Or not the barge.
A long time of the globe thing, right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about, yeah.
Well, I guess when I said barge, I was thinking Inferno. That one's already out there and it'd already been used at that point.
Yeah. Anyway, I like it a lot. I think it's good.
Here's
the songs I hope grow on me, though. That's the only weak part.
Here's the thing, though. Show-wise.
Yeah.
Can you say inequivocally? Yeah.
Unequivocally? Yeah.
Anyway.
Whatever the word
that
is.
That it's better than Harmonious.
Yes. I'll say it's better. Hey. I'll go on record as saying it's better. Only a couple of main reasons why. I think the music was better in Harmonious. I'll give it that.
The music was better in Harmonious?
Yes. I think, I but that was the only part that I truly loved about Harmonious was the music. I think the barges and fountains that they use for Luminous are better. Smaller is better. I think it works better than the giant monstrosity that was Harmonious's barges and screens and whatever. Don't need all that. The fireworks, I think, are way more unique and better. I actually like the fireworks the best. They're really unique. I think they're better somewhat than Happily Ever After in terms of just fireworks.
There's a lot of them.
I love that it incorporates Spaceship Earth in it. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Of course, like you said, the angle, you know, you have to, but still, I think that's cool. That's a new feature. And some of the story arc, I think, works pretty well. I like it. So, overall, yes, I think it's better than Harmonies.
Better than Reflections?
So, it's hard to compare because there's a lot of memories tied to Illuminations. So,
yeah, but Illuminations was good right after out the gate. Reflections of Earth was good right out the gate.
Yes.
I thought. There were, of course, there were some very tied to that show points about things like, you know, another 1,000 circles around the sun because the millennium was turning over when they did this show.
Sure. I would say overall, it's hard. I can't really compare it, but I think it's good for, I think it's what they need to stick with for a while. I think they should stick with the show. Maybe improve the music a little bit if they could. But otherwise, I think it's, here to stay. I like it.
Whenever I looked at it, I was a tad bit underwhelmed just because of, you know, like we had advanced to this and then we kind of took a step back in a way, technologically speaking.
Just because Harmonious was so in your face?
Maybe, but I mean, those arms were good. They were very much, Harmonious itself put on a good show. It was just, I think people had a problem mostly with
how big the barges were.
This thing's when the show wasn't going, what they had to look
which
at.
Is, I don't know, but 95% of the day, but yeah.
Yes, but I mean, if you look back in the day whenever they still did the original Illuminations, there was a lot of stuff sitting out there. Not quite as big as that, but there was a lot of stuff sitting out there.
I mean, there's stuff out there today with Luminous, but it's not as bad. It's not as giant and ugly and all that. And the peeing fountains, you know, that just randomly start...
The peeing fountains.
Okay. Right, they would just randomly start peeing water all day.
I guess the one thing here is I would like to have seen less IP, but we know that day and age is pretty much not here. And, you know, as we have discovered, as I pointed out, when this truly began, it had nothing to do with Chapek as much as it did Iger. So Iger brought it in.
That's true.
Chapek was there as well. Pretty much everything that was released attraction-wise started that way when Iger took over.
So... Right, they use So Close from Enchanted, as you said.
Yeah, which was, like I said, one that I guarantee you, like 90% of you people listening to this or whatever had to look that up to figure out where it came from.
Right, because I've seen Enchanted, but yeah, I did not remember that.
Exactly. Nobody remembers that song came from that movie. It's a very odd choice, but go ahead.
I See the Light, of course, from Tangled, and you've got A Friend in Me from Toy Story.
They've rehashed some... Happily Ever After.
What was it? You're right. They did. What else? Friend Like Me.
The songs fit with what they were trying to convey, but they have other songs that do this. I mean, it's like what they were trying to convey in this show was like every Disney movie they ever made for the longest time had these emotions.
Yeah. What I was thinking through the songs, I think my favorite IP one that they ended up using was Into the Unknown. I thought that one was
good. That seemed to be pretty good the way it fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I kind of wish they'd use different versions of the other ones.
Trying to remember how they fit that into the story.
That was near the end, wasn't it? I believe.
Yeah, but what was the story? What was the part of the story for that was for?
I can't think of it.
Was trying to scare you?
I have to go back to it. I thought it was like...
The future is unknown?
Yeah, like venturing out into... I don't know.
There's no fate but what we make.
Right. Do the next right thing. Whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. It's funny, earlier when you were talking about... What's it called? The new area in Epcot.
World Celebration?
Yeah, that. It's like... I'm borrowing this actually from Adam the Woo when I saw him. Future world is in the past now.
Right. That is funny, yes. The future is in the past.
The future world is now in the past.
Yes. Now it's World Celebration, which it's really just plant celebration.
I guess.
There's not a lot of world theme to it, that area.
It'll improve as the other parts of it open, because it's not fully open.
Right. Yep. When the Festival Center opens and whatnot, maybe that'll be the world part of the...
Yeah, we got to watch it. We got to see it all, which, by the way, I mean, good Lord, how long is it going to take for this thing to be fully finished? How long has it been now?
Forever.
It's been at least 3 years.
Forever.
Epcot forever? That's what they were signifying with that show, right?
Right.
Epcot's going to be under construction forever.
Right. Epcot construction forever is what they meant.
It's like when Walt said Epcot will never be complete, they took that literal.
Will always be in a state of becoming.
Yep, this is true.
Anyway, yeah.
It will never feel complete at all.
Yeah.
Not even for 2 seconds at this point.
Indeed. It'll be a living blueprint of the future. All right, so let's move on to the other part we're going to talk about, Indiana Jones, since
I finally saw it.
Yes, December 1st marked the release of Dial of Destiny on Disney Plus.
Right.
As well as that kind of documentary on Harrison Ford. Did you watch that too? Or
I did not watch that, no.
Yeah. I did watch that one. That was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
So I watched it when it came out in theaters back in June, was it?
Right. Well, it's not fresh for you.
Right. But I've watched about half of it with Jason. And also, this will be heavy spoiler, I assume, too. We're going to get into it. But he could only make it through half the movie. He was just like, where is this going? Like, we haven't even gotten to anything yet.
Really?
So right off the bat, I would say it is long. It's a very long movie. And I think it stretches out probably longer than it should. That was my original thought.
They did spend a little too much time on trying to tell you what year it was by everything that was going on.
Right. Yeah, they very specific about it.
They really drove that point home.
Yeah, 1969.
I was like, they had enough stuff about the moon landing and the magical mystery tour being played.
Speaking of, they paid $1 million for that. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
It cost them $1 million.
That's just ridiculous.
To have that song in there.
That's just ridiculous.
That was a good percentage of that. Actually, it wasn't a good percentage of the budget, but.
Well, the biggest percentage of the budget was probably Harrison's contract, but.
Right, that too. Yeah. I feel like he would have done this one for free, though, because he loves Indiana Jones so much, but.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He don't love it that much.
Yeah.
Harrison, you know, as far as old man bodies go, I mean, he was in decent shape, by the way, when they said that part.
I really wish the last Indiana Jones movie would have been made when Crystal Skull came out.
Uh-huh.
But there would have been another one in before that, if that makes sense. So this one being even, how many years after Crystal Skull, like 13, 14 years, whatever, what was it? 2008?
I don't remember.
So almost 15 years after Crystal Skull. That's a long time. So he's definitely aged a lot, and it's very noticeable, obviously. But of course, Harrison Ford is still Harrison Ford, so he does an amazing job in this movie. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
He brings it to this role for sure. I just wish that we had gotten more Indiana Jones when Harrison Ford was younger.
Yeah.
After Last Crusade. Nice. But
if they could have agreed on a script.
Right. That was the thing. By the time, you know, they started putting a story together, George Lucas got more interested in doing the Star Wars prequels. And then, you know, literally as soon as he was done with the Star Wars prequels, that's when they started working on Crystal Skull. So,
yeah. It was not long after, was it?
Right. So we needed it to be pre-95. It would have had to be, but just
well, let's
wasn't
see. The Indiana
out.
Jones movies, he had done one of them by the time Star Wars had completed. And he was, he could have done them simultaneously, I guess, technically.
Yeah. Sure. Right. He could have done, if they had done one in 1994, I think it would have been really good.
Or even in between episode 1 and episode 2, right? Or 2 and 3, at the least.
I don't know. I just feel like George Lucas spent too much time focusing on Star Wars. I think probably after episode 1 came out, he really had to be like, okay, I guess I got to not as many people loved that one, so I've got to focus on Star Wars to.
Okay, so his response worse. Was Attack of the Clones. Okay.
Right, yeah, to make it worse. Anyway. Although the prequels look better and better the further you get, you know, from what Disney did with Star Wars. Ugh.
Yeah, the further prequels along we go. Better.
Right, the prequels look better and better every day. Anyway, so you said you liked the movie overall, right?
I did.
So what did you think?
Well, I mean, I had an opportunity to sit and watch it and all the way through, all that good stuff. So
you had a good 2.5 hours or almost 3 hours. What was it, like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something?
Yeah.
It was really long.
You know, I already mentioned how they drove home the year, which was kind of
the year.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was a lot of action. It kind of went from one thing to the next. I don't think that in the early parts, I mean, I like the scenes and stuff that were going on and what they developed, but I was not too, the CGI for his face was not that good. It is not that great.
So what did you think of the opening scene?
The with adventure the Nazis.
From the, yeah. I to me, that felt the most like old Indiana Jones, you know, like
yeah.
What I like. The music was very Last Crusade, like John Williams brought back a lot of Last Crusade music in that.
Yeah, I felt that a lot whenever they were doing the chase scene with the motorcycle over or whatever that was.
Yeah.
It was
the car and motorcycle.
Well, with the horse first, that was, and then when that little,
oh,
whatever that thing was, he was driving over in Morocco, wasn't it?
Oh, the little tuk-tuk thing?
Tuk-tuk. Yeah. I mean, they both, the music during those things were both, it was fitting.
Yeah.
The stunts that were done were on par with Indiana Jones. It was not too ridiculous.
Yeah, it was good. I think you're right, though, the CGI or de-aging, whatever you want to call it, was, especially the first time you hear Harrison Ford talking, it's his modern-day voice on a young...
But it's like you can kind of see it, especially when he's moving his head more, like whenever he was looking out the door of the train that he was in, when he was doing all that, when he's moving his head more, it doesn't follow him as well. Does that make sense?
Right. There's a few scenes that just takes you out of it because you're like, oh, that didn't look as good.
Right.
But overall, it was okay. Like, it's not terrible, but it was the most Indiana Jones-like sequence that I was
maybe
of
so.
The movie to me.
I've noticed some similarities.
What?
Right?
Similarities in
of the previous films. Like, that train scene makes you think of Last Crusade, the one where he's...
Yeah.
When he's a kid.
Like the beginning, right.
Because not only that, they went back in time for it, right? They didn't go to present day. They went back in time, just like they did in Last Crusade.
Yeah.
He called her Wombat. Was her name Helen, was it? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Helen. Yeah.
Okay, so she has a sidekick who is younger. Right. Reminds you of Short Round, right?
Right.
She even says later on in the film that she caught him trying to pick her pocket.
Right, yeah.
It's like exactly the same, right?
Right.
As Short Round. He's like, caught him trying to pick my pocket. Doesn't that Short Round? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, it's almost like they intentionally did throwbacks in this one to bring them all together, I think.
And to bring Sala back.
There's probably some more Easter eggs like that I've missed, to be honest. I have to watch it again just to see if there's some more.
Yeah. There's probably some more shout-outs or callbacks. There was a part where he had the book that it kind of looked like the Grail Diary, but it was the
there
book
you
about
go.
The dial or whatever.
But I enjoyed the story. It actually kept me into it. I thought it was actually good compared to going after an alien. I mean, the Dial of Destiny, there's a guy trying to go back and fix things as far as Nazi Germany goes.
And that's another highlight of the movie for me was Mads.
He brought the Nazi back.
Well, no, No, I'm saying Mads Mikkelsen was a good villain. Like, he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was a really good villain.
He was. And they brought one. I'm going to say they brought one back with glasses.
Right. And as I said, anytime without fail, like what they do with Indiana Jones, they bring the Nazis back when.
Yeah. And it seems to work. Yeah. So,
the story works.
Is dying.
Right. But overall, I don't know. I need to go. I have not watched Crystal Skull since.
I have.
Probably 2008 or 9, so.
I must say, whenever I watched it, though, I was like, you know.
I'll give it another
still not
shot.
Good. Yeah, it's like, it's still not good, but I mean, it's not as bad as I remembered. deal.
I do recall Crystal Skull trying to bring way more humor than this one did to me. There was just like a lot of straight up murder in this movie.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, yeah.
And then of course, like, there's the backstory. I guess we're doing spoilers, right? So, the story of, you know, Mutt dying in Vietnam, essentially.
I guess if you're gonna kill him off, that's a good way to do it.
Right. That made sense.
Given the time frame,
it's like, I don't know. It's like chaos all around him.
Yeah.
What did you think of the ending? I was curious. I wasn't sure how I thought about it. Like, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Totally did another recall at the very end, right? Where doesn't it hurt?
Yes, right. to Raiders. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's okay. I actually think it would have ended better if they'd let him stay in 214 BC.
Right.
I think it would have ended better
if he wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, like he wanted to stay there. I was like, oh, that would have been perfect. They teased it, really, and they were right. Like, but they didn't go with it.
I know. So. Yeah, the ending was kind of odd. Like, first of all, Indy wasn't in, like, he wasn't even a part of this, really. He was just kind of sitting there wounded for, like, the last 20 minutes of the whatever, that whole scene, if I remember correctly.
They were really driving home the point that he's old.
Right. Yeah, they really did that a lot. And it's just like, I don't know. But it was, I kind of thought it was neat that, you know, oh, the thing works, but, you know, they didn't factor in certain things. And so they ended up going back then.
Well, the other thing that was interesting is right there at the end, Helen, and I think this is really kind of the point of it, the Dial of Destiny was actually rigged, right? So that no matter what you did, you always came to that particular point in time.
Right. In order to
basically make the Siege of Syracuse go the way that it did.
Yeah.
Right.
So that you wouldn't change history, maybe? Interesting. I don't know.
And the fact that he had a watch, which explained why he ended up having it in his tomb. Because he got it from.
Which was kind of neat from there. Yeah. That was cool.
I really liked the fact that they were doing something like that because I liked the idea that they were going back in time and just seeing something that really happened type deal.
Yeah. Well, it was the theme of the movie was time and stuff like that, you know. That was an interesting point. My question, though, was how did they fly out of there if, you know, the kid landed the plane, like, somewhere, but it's like, how do you take off again? When there's no runway and you're like, he just found a nice flat spot to take back off somehow.
I don't know.
And fly back in time to the present time. I don't know. Anyway, they didn't explain that. They just like, oh, we're back in New York
right.
now. But anyway. And then they just did an ending where I didn't love, okay, the hat is great, but it's just like, that's it. I don't know. I thought there would be a better, like, a riding into the sunset in the last few pages.
Right.
That's the best ending you could possibly have. Like, he's riding off and literally into the sunset.
Yeah. They'll say literally into the sunset.
Well, okay. You know what I meant, though. But he's literally riding it off. Like,
all I know is you watch them ride off for a really long time at the end of Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
I was like, you like basically watched them right after you couldn't see them anymore.
Yeah. But if I remember correctly, at the end of Crystal Skull, he and Marion were getting married, and he took the hat from Mutt. Like, Mutt was about to put the hat on, and he grabbed it from him and put it on and walked out. So it was, like, very similar, like, oh, it's just the hat. Like, oh, I got to have my hat.
Yeah.
End of story. Like, I don't, that's it. I don't know. I was hoping for a better ending.
You know, it's funny. There was that line in the movie when he says he doesn't believe in magic, and then he starts talking about all the things that's happened to him.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't, but you've had a lot of magic happen.
He says a lot of strange things or whatever he says, a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
That he can't explain. Right. So I guess that kind of did it. I was like, yeah, I guess that kind of works, but.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, how can you not believe that you've literally experienced all this time?
So how would you rank the indie movies?
I don't think it really changes much. It would still probably for me go Raiders, Crusade, Temple, this one, and then Crystal Skull.
I think I'm gonna watch Crystal Skull one more time just before I make that declaration, because I literally haven't seen it in 15 years. So
yeah, but Crystal Skull had a jump the shark moment for me that I can very clearly remember.
The monkeys.
Or we could say swing with the monkeys moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The refrigerator thing, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Some the refrigerator thing didn't bother me that much, truthfully.
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that happens in Indiana Jones movies that are over the top. But
exactly. Like, you don't know, jumping rails on a mine car, for instance.
Yes, right, exactly.
I mean,
what are the odds? Never tell me the odds.
having someone have their heart pulled out of their chest and it be beating in someone's hand.
Right. Right. And then still be alive.
Yeah. Right. And they still live. So
he's still alive.
Well, until they're like dipped in lava or whatever.
Right. The fire's still, you know.
Right, that'll kill you, but it'll living out without your heart is fine.
Yeah.
Or the whole voodoo doll thing actually working, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
There you go.
So there's all kinds of stuff. Okay, but what would you give it, like, out of 10?
Well, I'd say it's worthy of about a 7, maybe. 7 or 8.
Okay. Yeah, I would probably think, like, 6.5 or 7, yeah. I think it's probably needs 30 minutes trimmed out of it, and it needs a better ending.
Well, I think the whole reason, though, like I said earlier, the whole reason it didn't do well at the box office because of the precedent that was set with, say, Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
People and Lucasfilm in general, how it's been handled.
Right.
People didn't really have a lot of expectations and probably just said, you know, yeah, I'm just going to wait and watch this when it's not as expensive for me to watch it.
The expectations couldn't be lower.
Right. It wasn't very high.
Jones movie, yeah. There was no hype. There was no, like, I thought the commercials for it didn't really make me excited about it. I mean, other than that first one where you see the CGI de-aged, whatever, it was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. They're going to do some scenes but it's literally like two parts of the movie where they do that, where he's younger and then a little bit older, but not as old, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You would think they're going to do it more than one time, pretty much, right?
Right. I felt like they were running out of dangers for Indy, so they brought the eels. I was like...
Yeah, that was a little strange.
And then the guy, was it...
Antonio Banderas?
What was his character name? Right, what was his character name?
Forgot
his name. But I'm like, okay, this is like the new Sala for the movie. Like, maybe he'll be... But it's like, he gets murdered too, like... Straight up murdered, like, in front of Indy. I'm like, good Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of murder happening.
There was another thing, too. You remember, I don't know if you noticed this or not, at the very end of the film, Sala, the song that he is actually singing is the exact same one he sung after Marion gave him a kiss before they were...
Yes.
Yeah, he was singing that exact same song. They snuck that out of there, too.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I like that they brought him in and...
Yeah, he was a cab driver.
Marion, right. Like, okay, that's cool, though. But, like, I'm not in love with, like, the fact that Indy was, like, kind of in a really dark place during this whole movie.
Yeah, but somewhat.
I kind of want to see him go out on a high note, which I guess he kind of does, sort of. Not really, but
He would have gone out on a higher note if he'd have stayed in Greece.
I guess, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just would have liked a better, like... Crystal Skull was a happier ending. If that was it, that was a good ending. Of course, Last Crusade was literally like an ending.
Well, I mean, didn't they all have happy endings? I mean,
I guess this one did, but I mean, he still has a dead son and,
well,
you know,
nothing was going to change that.
Tiny apartment in New York City, and he
has Marion, though.
You know, right.
He has the love of his life.
I guess. Sure.
They should have brought back pretty much everybody for this film. They should have brought back Short Round.
Yeah, I wish they had had a cameo at least.
Willie Scott.
That would have been. I think if he had won the Oscar before they had finished this movie, they would have tried to get him in there.
Yeah.
They would have been like, oh, we need, just for the press alone, we need like a scene with the two of them. They missed that boat.
I guess you can't bring back the female lead from Crusade because, well, she died. But
oh, really?
Elsa?
Did she?
No, I mean, I'm talking about in the film.
Oh, well, yeah.
The other female leads in the films didn't die, see?
I thought you were saying the actress. I'm like,
no,
she was
the
really
actress
young.
Didn't die. But what I'm saying is, in the film, she died. The other characters
did not
die.
She fell down an endless
right,
hole.
Yeah, she could have come back from that.
If Darth Maul can make it, and the Emperor, like...
Her hatred kept her alive.
Exactly. Anybody could.
She had the grill with... That's right, she had the grill with her. Went down there with her. She could have used that to stay alive.
That's what happened. The grill, like, fell on top of her and spilled, like, and then she came back to life. I just wrote Indiana Jones 6, Elsa Returns. The grail of Elsa? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
The Ice Queen. She became that Elsa.
Yeah.
She had like the hair, like same color hair.
Right, pretty much.
Elsa, the seal of the night warned us not to take the grill past it.
All right, so we have a few minutes left. I wanted to go over this story that I talked about in the opener.
Sure. This is a surprise to me.
Yeah, this is a surprise to you. And I just thought we could go through it and kind of dissect it a little bit and see what could have been done differently. This is titled Disappointing First Disney Vacation. They didn't have a great experience, and they kind of detailed.
I'm guessing they went in 2021 or two.
No, this was this year. It was a couple of months ago, as 2023 as we're recording this. So, family of four. They have a 12-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. Husband and wife. They went for 3 days. They went without Genie Plus, and they did stay at a Disney resort, which they said they didn't love. They said it was crowded. Most of the rides were old, run down, or just not that great. And it ultimately didn't feel like it was worth the money. The cast members felt like regular amusement park workers. Many of them were snappy and didn't feel magical at all, they said. They stayed at Art of Animation. And they said it basically felt like a motel with some plastic Disney character statues. I chose it for theming and the Skyliner, but the theming felt cheap. The walls were very thin. They stayed in a mermaid room.
Okay.
And they said it was too long of a walk. It was like 10-minute walk from our room to the Skyliner. And they thought the food court was overpriced in tiny portions. Like, I don't know what you're used to, but I don't find those food courts to be that small portions, to be honest.
Well, the price is on par with pretty much everything at this point.
Yeah.
When did you say they went? Or did you say?
It was November of this year, earlier in November.
Okay. Early November.
This was, yeah, pre-Thanksgiving.
And they didn't use Genie Plus.
Right, no Genie Plus. So
they only went for 3 days. Or three nights.
Right, exactly. So their first day was Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
And they said they went Skyliner at 8 a.m. and said already a huge line. They got in at 8:30. They thought the early entry was 8:30, but people were already in, so they were like, "Oh, they let people in earlier than that."
A little
didn't know that.
Well, they did to get to the next point, yeah. Not to ride rides.
Yeah, not necessarily. Yeah, sometimes they do open earlier. You never know. They said their first ride was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. This is interesting. So they said it was posted wait time was 5 minutes, but it ended up being closer to 15.
Oh,
and
no.
They said she complained that it was too loud.
Too
they said
loud?
The 5-year-old son had to cover his ears the entire time. I didn't get the point of the ride. Like, yay, you're in a train and you get to see Mickey and Minnie everywhere, but that's kind of it. I'm like, are you paying attention? I don't know. I don't find it too loud either. Do you?
No.
I don't know. I found this
if I was ever going to describe a Disney attraction as too loud, it would have been Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And even then, they toned it down, and once they did, it was fine.
Yeah. So they did Smuggler's Run next. It said posted wait 20 minutes, but it was kind of a walk-on. The cast member made my 5-year-old and I pilots, which was a terrible decision. He was scared and overwhelmed. The cast members
should
have more foresight. Right?
Yeah, they should be able to peer into the future.
Right. They should be able to say, oh, most kids would think it's awesome to be pilot.
So that should be Jedi. They should be able to see things before they happen.
Right. Next, they did Star Tours. They said it was a 20-minute posted wait, but it was a walk-on. It was similar to Smuggler's Run, but it lacked the interactive bits and super underwhelming.
Like, really?
I don't know what your standards are.
Just based on what I'm hearing here, I'm not even so sure this review is genuine. Where'd it come from?
Really? It was on Reddit. I was looking at Reddit.
I don't feel like it's genuine. I think someone's trying to make it sound genuine, and then I think they're just making it up, truthfully.
Yeah. They had lunch at Woody's Lunchbox.
Okay.
Did Toy Story Mania. They said they waited 45 minutes for it. It was fine, but wasn't worth the wait. The line was thankfully inside.
45 minutes for Toy Story Mania?
That's about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah, but early November, right?
Golly, she said Alien Swirling Saucers was next. Her son wanted to do it, and they despite the 65-minute posted wait time, it was more like 45 minutes.
Okay.
And then at this point, it was afternoon. We were tired. We went back to the resort, and they had more fun at the pool than they did at the park.
I could see that part happening sometimes.
They went back later. They did Muppets. Both kids complained about how boring it was.
How old are the kids?
12 and 5.
5-year-old complaining about how boring that is? That's interesting. 12, I might get to see.
Right. They did Lightning McQueen Racing Academy. They said their 5-year-old liked it. Then they did Fantasmic. They got there 30 minutes early, and it was the highlight of the day. A lot of characters and fireworks.
Okay.
Then they said their 12-year-old was complaining about how they didn't do Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror or Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, really. I would imagine so. Well, here's a better question. Why didn't you try to do those things? It didn't sound like they even attempted.
Well, probably the wait was too long.
Well?
Because they didn't do Genie or...
What was the reason that they didn't do Genie Plus? They just refused to pay?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay. Well?
So day two is Animal Kingdom. They plan on rope dropping, but they woke up late and then took the bus to Animal Kingdom, which again, there's part of your problem. They arrived at noon.
They arrived at noon?
Yeah.
Actually, arriving at noon at Animal Kingdom, they're probably going to run into some lesser waits in some place.
Well, yeah, later is better if you're not going to go early. Flight of Passage was 90 minutes, and it said their 5-year-old freaked out during the cave part of the queue.
Cave
part
of
the
queue.
They just left. Yes. And then they did Navi.
It's like nothing in there. Not even that dark.
And they said the Navi was so short for a 45-minute wait. And then it said the other two, the 12-year-old and the husband, said that Flight of Passage was great, but not worth the wait.
Okay.
I'll believe that.
Whatever.
Well, they walked through the trails on Discovery Island.
Okay.
In Africa and Asia. This was very disappointing and seemed more like a zoo than Disney World.
No, not really.
Okay. That's not disappointing at all to me. I'm like, it is kind of a zoo also, by the way. I don't understand why.
Not a zoo.
And then they said posted wait was 20 minutes for Dinosaur. It was closer to 40. We all loved it, and the queue was nice.
The queue was nice? There's not much of a queue there.
Right. And it says they bought Dole Whips. I don't know where. I guess you can get Dole Whips somewhere.
Yeah, I forgot where it's sold, but yeah.
Love Dole Whips. Highly recommend. Then they were tired and sore and couldn't spend any more time in the park, so they went back to the resort. So they
didn't even do Everest.
It doesn't say Safari, actually. I was reading through. They didn't do Safari either.
So they didn't do one of the main reasons for going over there, the Safari.
Right.
They didn't do Everest.
Right.
They didn't do...
Kali,
which Kali is...
Didn't do Tough to be a Bug.
You know, Kali's okay, but as far as a river rafting ride goes, it's not exactly the best one that's out there by any means. Because I would say Grizzly River Run and really any of the other tubed river rides are better than Kali. I mean, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so final day, Magic Kingdom. They didn't even go to Epcot, by the way. Which, again, huge mistake.
Yeah, something about all this doesn't add up. Either they're just stupid and they're also complainers, or this is not entirely real. I think it's written from the perspective that they want it to sound real and it's not. I don't know. Yeah. It could be either.
I think, I thought it was real, but
it could be.
That's debatable, but still. Yeah. So they said they didn't rope drop Magic Kingdom because they were too tired already. They ate breakfast
at the
food court.
Well, you're trying to cram all this in 3 days for one thing, so yeah.
Took the bus again, got there at 9:30.
Yeah.
Space Mountain, they were able to get on with a short wait. It was a dark roller coaster, and that it was. What? Basically just a ride in the dark. So,
I could see someone.
There's more to it.
I could see someone saying that, though. Especially, think about the era in which it was built versus now. I could see someone writing it off as that. But anyway, go ahead.
And then Buzz Lightyear, they said it felt like a cheap old version of Toy Story Mania,
which is not too far off from the
It's older version, but yes. I mean, okay, different kind of thing, but yes, yeah. Okay. Carousel of Progress, my husband liked it, kids hated it and found it boring. I don't blame them.
I could see a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old finding that boring.
They did lunch at Casey's. They thought it was good.
Okay.
Monsters, Inc. Laugh For, they loved that. So this tells you a lot about, like, okay,
type
you like weird things. Yeah. They did it two times in a row.
Well, the one thing about it is it's because of the nature of the show, it's different every time to some degree, right? So,
yeah. Then they did Peter Pan's Flight, 60-minute posted wait, but it was way longer than an hour. Nice ride, but didn't get the hype. Looked old.
No.
Haunted Mansion, posted wait 45. The ride kept on getting stuck and stopping in the middle.
This definitely that part definitely sounds genuine.
Yeah. And then it says we missed the fireworks because we decided to leave at 4 p.m.
That's it.
And now, okay, let me read the final note. We all noticed that all the rides where you wear 3D glasses were blurry. Some of them we could see double. I remember taking my glasses off in Muppets and seeing no difference. Some of the Flight of Passage were slightly better.
You do realize the parts that don't some have 3D and it look normal, right, when they take the glasses off. Like not every single moment is 3D.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
This could be because all of us wore 3D glasses over our normal glasses. They all have glasses. All right.
Okay.
But Disney should definitely do something about this.
Do what? Something about what?
I don't know. Overall, and this is another part. Overall, we felt like this trip was a waste of $6,000.
It wasn't just the crowds.
I know.
They didn't use Genie Plus.
Right.
They stayed at Art of Animation. What do they stay in? They said they stayed in the Mermaid.
Mermaid Room. Right.
I can't see where that adds up to $6,000.
Unless you flew from, like, Australia or something. I don't know how you spent $6,000.
I'm trying to figure out how this is added up to $6,000. I haven't even heard any table service in this review.
It was just the crowds. It wasn't just the crowds of the wait time, which I know Genie Plus alleviates. I would have been fine waiting an hour for every ride if the rides were actually worth the hour's wait. None of them were. Yes, we had some fleeting moments of fun, but it was far from the happiest place on earth. Will not do again.
Yeah, something
good.
About...
we don't want you.
I think... Okay. There was a lot of things they written off as a possibility of being legitimate until you got to the end, and they said they spent $6,000.
Yeah. Right.
That part alone makes me think that that's not even a real review.
Right. Most of the comments, though, were like, what did you spend $6,000 on?
Okay, you've already said you stayed 3 days. Does that mean three nights?
Well, it was three park days, you know. I don't know.
3 nights, most likely.
3 nights, let's assume, yeah.
Okay, we're going to assume 3 nights. At Mermaid at Art of Animation.
Yeah. Which, even with no discount, you know, that...
No,
at
most
is $1,000. It shouldn't even be $1,000, you know.
Now, unless they spent...
Peak pricing.
Unless they went through and did a package and spent money on the 4-day ticket and didn't use it, that
which
might increase
sounds
a little
like
bit.
They could have done, I mean...
Yeah, they could have done. But I still don't even think that's going to bring it up to $6,000.
Yeah. But not to be too harsh on them, if it is a real review, I would say if you did a little planning or had a friend or listened to us or any of that, you could have had a 100% better time than even without Genie Plus. You still could have had a lot better time because some of the sequence of where they went, they zigzagged the park a lot and and it's like they probably were like, oh, well, that's short wait. Let's walk all the way over and do that.
Here's the other thing.
No planning, whatever. Just go with the wind and see what happens. And that never really works.
Here's the other thing that I don't understand. You have a 12-year-old with you, and you didn't even sound like you even tried to factor in the stuff the 12-year-old would like.
Yeah.
You didn't even try.
No. And you didn't go to Epcot, which... That was another mistake.
Guardians is there.
Right.
I mean,
probably should have done Epcot instead of Animal Kingdom. I mean, that's kind of the... I mean, Animal Kingdom is kind of the... is the one that needs to be left out if you're going to have to leave one out.
Well, I would say it could be... If you're going to leave one out, it's between Hollywood and Animal Kingdom, truthfully.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on your preferences. If you really love animals, then yes, you should probably do Animal Kingdom.
Let me put it this way. I could see myself if I'm doing a shorter trip, I could see myself interchanging those two more so than the others.
Yeah, for me, it's always going to be Animal Kingdom right now would be the one I would have to skip or do a half day at.
However, our trip this past year in June,
yeah,
one of my favorite days was Animal Kingdom Day.
Yeah.
Just the way it all offloaded and the way it went.
I love Animal Kingdom. I think Safari is one of the best attractions because you always get something different. Flight of Passage is great. Everest is great. Dinosaur is so good.
A little while longer.
Yeah. The park is gorgeous. There's so much detail, and it's fun to walk around. Kali's still, you know, it's okay. It's not great, but it's something.
See a bug, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually still a great show, honestly. It's still a good show, but it's not my favorite. But Pandora's still nice to look at, and, you know, food and drink is great there. So there's lots of good things about Animal Kingdom, but it's still, like, the least favorite of the four, personally.
You think whenever I just mentioned it's tough to be a bug, I was just thinking in general, do you think 3D shows, like sit down and watch type 3D shows, they've kind of run their course now?
Yeah. I think nobody wants, I mean, that. I think that tells you a lot about going to movie theaters in general. It's like nobody wants to go sit in the theater, especially when they're out on a vacation. It's like, I don't want to sit down and watch something.
Right.
I want to be doing stuff. Like,
right.
So
the only one in recent memory that I've gone on is Muppets. I have not done. Yeah. I haven't even done PhilharMagic in I don't know how long.
When did we do? I think I did Tough to Be a Bug back in June when we, because our friends that we were with wanted to do it. And now, so we did it then. It was fine. You know, it's okay. It's actually a good show for what it is. I mean, but I have very little interest. I love the Muppets, so I will still do Muppet Vision 3D, but yeah. I'm not a big fan of sitting and watching shows. I don't really do American Adventure anymore. I don't really do...
There's a part of me that finds it really hard to believe that the Muppets have lasted as long as they have, totally untouched.
I don't know. That's a good point.
It's been 33 years.
Whenever, though, they're going to expand Galaxy's Edge or something, they're going to rip all that out, probably.
Possibly.
That'd be the only thing at this point. So, yeah, to me, this, if this is a real review, it's pretty poor planning, honestly.
See, I'm just trying to think in my head what else they could have spent would have totaled to $6,000.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
I'll have to find this post again and see if they commented responded.
Because it sounds like a family of four. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Family of four. You know.
Yeah.
Didn't say where they're from, you know, where they came from, like how far they had to get travel. That could have been... That's the only thing that would have cost a lot of money was getting there, if they're including that.
Well, I mean, if they're out of country, maybe.
Right.
But they're usually out of country is going to stay more than 3 days.
Right. But the attractions, she said they did. I mean, the Flight of Passage, only two of them did it, and that was the only, like...
E-ticket?
E-ticket that they really did. They didn't do, you know, as... Their 12-year-old complained they didn't do Tower of Terror, they didn't do Rock and Roller Coaster, they didn't do Rise of the Resistance.
Slinky, even.
Didn't do Slinky, didn't do Mine Train, didn't do Tron, didn't do Guardians. Under. Of course, they didn't even go to Epcot. Yeah. I mean, there's dozens of...
Didn't do Pirate.
Right. Didn't mention it, if they did, so...
Yeah, I guess.
They only did, like,
this
six
sounds like
things
somebody,
at Magic Kingdom.
Sounds like either somebody who... just wanted to complain, or it's not real, wanted to give Disney a bad review.
Yeah. But it's like, if you show up with no planning and just wander aimlessly through the park and do a few things, you're not going to have a great time.
Well, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that show up with very little planning.
Yeah.
That still don't get that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would say in this day and age, there's a lot of people, especially if they're going on a big trip, they just go with a travel agent nowadays, or they should.
Yeah. Right.
Because the thing is, when it comes to Disney especially, it's not costing you anything different, right? You're just having someone else do the plans for you.
I'd say, at the very least, go with a travel agent. Although I will say there's some friends of mine who use a travel agent, and I ended up helping them more. She was just like, I'm glad we asked you for help because you were way more help than the travel agent was. So it depends on the travel agent.
Well, I just, from what I know of you, you go above and beyond in the sense that,
right,
you know, you actually pull lightning lanes for people. So,
well,
I mean,
yes.
A travel agent is not going to...
For people I like, yeah. No, but I mean, she's forwarded me some of the emails from that travel agent. I was like, yeah, they didn't really describe this very well or didn't explain Genie Plus. She was like, I don't even know what Genie Plus is. That doesn't make any sense to me. And
right.
She just was... She didn't give a good description.
Sounds like she didn't go with a very good agent either.
Yeah. And then the dining recommendations, I was like, I don't know, actually.
Was it independent? Was it with a group? That's what I was trying to figure out.
I'm not sure. I'd have to see if it's with an agency or not. It wasn't an agency I recognized. If it was, I would have known.
It wasn't Touring Plans.
No. No, it wasn't. But I mean,
Dreams
honestly,
Unlimited.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't them. Anyway. All right. I think we should wrap it up.
We've gone. I want to wrap
overboard. Man overboard.
I want to put a bow on it.
Put a bow on this episode. But yes, a little planning goes a long way. And if you, you know, we have a travel agent friend, I'll mention. On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com, we have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And before you do the Spreadshirt pitch, I would say we do have our Christmas stuff up as well. Christmas logo finally got approved. So where can you find all that stuff?
Well, I mean, we have Facebook, we have X, we have Instagram.
Yeah.
I started to say we have Twit. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We also have a Spreadshirt store, which you were just talking about, which we have a line of with Christmas stuff with a slight modification, right? Managed to work.
Yes.
So that is at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast.
So for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Train my men to win. Win.
Always.
By fair means or foul, soft words or hard deeds, by treachery, I say trickery, by cunning, by malpractice, but always.
Win.